Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Tonight, Breaking Bad Season 4, Episode 3 has so much. It has one, but not one, but two cameos from Breaking Bad, and we will talk about those. We'll talk about everything that happened in the episode, but really, we're going to spend most of the hour talking about Hummel figurines. The Breaking Bad After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Sing along! You all know the words! Okay, no, none of us know the words, but it was a fun little moment to get this here on this week's show, and we will definitely be talking about
high school kiddies, if you ever want to learn something for your chemistry test, this is the song.
And the singer of this song, Tom Lehrer, did a lot of novelty records where you can learn all sorts of. He had a song about pollution. There's a lot of them. I actually was familiar with the voice, but I don't know any of the words in this song. But extra credit for anybody who can post a video of them singing it. Anyway, welcome to the Breaking Bad After Show. On to my left, for those watching, is the Merry Wanderer, and I'm Bavarian Boy. We're very happy to be here.
What up, your boy, LG, the Merry Wanderer? What up, people out there? Hey, yeah. Hey.
I didn't want to make you Bavarian Boy, because I felt like there might be a problem there. I'm the
what
Bavarian
did you say to
boy.
Me?
Exactly, I'm the Bavarian Boy. We'll talk about so much about the episode, but the best place to start, Al, would be the news.
The
and
news.
You have some news for us.
I got some news for you guys. If you haven't been paying attention, there is a new website that you can go on and you can actually order the real Los Pollos Hermanos chicken. Okay, you can get the app and everything. Check this out. All you have to do is go. Well, why don't we run the commercial first? Can we have the engineer just run the commercial and you'll see for yourself?
Yes, this week's after show is indeed sponsored by Los Pollos Hermanos, as it is every week. And it'll be rolling in a moment. And for those of you listening on iTunes, you'll be able to imagine the visuals whenever we get it started.
And while we're pulling it up, just so you guys know that you can get it via app on Postmates. Postmates is this app where you can go on that already does delivery, but they're doing this tie-in with Better Call Saul and Los Pollos Hermanos, where you can actually download the Postmates app and order chicken. By the way, I tried today. I couldn't get through. I guess like it was overwhelmed, but literally you were supposed to get real chicken delivered today. And then, you know, but I'm upgrading.
Okay, I'm glad you said that you didn't actually get it, because I'm like, where's my chicken?
I was about to bring it in here.
I know. I was like, you got Los Pollos Hermanos, and I didn't get any.
You know what I mean? Yeah, Los Pollos Hermanos for everybody. But the point is, it's a nice cross-promotion they're doing. I've never used this app before, but maybe I will use it.
I've heard of Postmates. I've never used it myself.
But, yeah, but apparently, I guess people flooded it. You know, tons of people were ordering, trying to get their order of chicken. But it was a nice tie-in, man. And anyway, well, pretty soon we'll see the commercial, this little new commercial they
came
up with.
Are we able to play it, or is there a problem with playing it? Okay, no problem. Great. So whenever you're ready, you start it, and that's when we'll stop talking.
Los Pollos Hermanos, we know only the best will do for you and your family. What does family taste like? In your heart, you know it's the best ingredients, the spiciest spices, all prepared with love and care, and always delivered with a friendly smile. That's the Los Pollos Hermanos promise.
Come in and try our new curly fries. We are so sure you'll like them. And if you don't, they're on me.
Los Pollos Hermanos, taste the family.
Taste the family.
Taste the family.
And so, guys, let me read you actually, you know, the little promotion. If you live in Los Angeles or New York City, you can order a mini meal of fried chicken and curly fries from Los Pollos Hermanos Monday through Friday. Monday through Wednesday, using the Postmates app. Delivery is free while supplies last, courtesy of AMC, this dramedy, Better Call Saul, and the prequel Breaking Bad.
Well, something tells me that we're going to have to, you know, get it. We'll each get up first thing in the morning tomorrow and try and get it before it gets flooded. And by the way, do you think that if you don't like the curly fries, do you think it's a good idea to complain to
Gus?
I
don't know if I'm going to complain to
Gus. I think I'll just be like, you know what? I'll just finish somebody's trunk or anything like that. Seemed like the best idea to complain about.
But check out those commercials.
That's really a lot of
Twitter
fun, though.
And Facebook and social media.
I hadn't seen that, so I was glad you brought it to our attention. Is there anything else in the news? I mean, no, we don't need any more.
That's it.
That's all we need. So that's good. I guess some of the news we will roll out as we're talking, which is the aforementioned two cameos. Although one of them, not even so much a cameo as a featured guest star, but Gail was indeed a cameo. But let's sort of divide it up like we usually do, and we'll talk about the different storylines. This was... very Jimmy heavy episode, go figure. But he picked right up where we left off last week with the Hummel figurines, and I don't know, just something about the names, the Merry Wander and the Bavarian Boy. That's why. And as soon as it was like, well, that's how I'm going to introduce us. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I understand the fact that Mike was like, yeah, it's not for me. Like, he's just like, what's the deal with this? Like, how do you know about it? Did these guys do you wrong? Mm-hmm. And I guess as it plays out,
now you see why.
Good instincts. But yeah. What were your thoughts as you were watching Mike just not be interested?
The exact same thing. What I love the difference between Mike and Jimmy is that, A, Mike has a code. Even dating back to the first time they worked together, and they could have walked away with all these millions of dollars, and then Jimmy's like, I should have took the money. Why didn't I? And Mike's like, look, we agreed to do a job for this amount of price, and just because you're a criminal doesn't mean you have to be a dishonest criminal. Like, I know people who are straight, but they're dishonest straight people, but you could be an honest criminal. He's all about his integrity, no matter what side of the line he lies on. He walks it like he talks it. And this whole figurine thing was just real Mickey Mouse. But, you know, that I think Jimmy, you know, he's under pressure. He doesn't have his law license. So he's willing to do dang near anything Mickey Mouse to make a buck. But, yeah, it's definitely like, you know, it's like if you're a legit criminal, you know, why would you waste your time? That's like for the bottom feeders. And that's what happens. He gets a bottom feeding job.
Now, the question is, though, if the money involved was $10,000, does he get more interested? $20,000. You know, if it was like a box full of Hummel figurines. You know, there has to be a certain point where he's like, yeah, all right, I'm in. You know what I mean? I'm like, there has to be a point. But this wasn't worth it.
Yeah, possibly. But Mike, I like his instincts. It just didn't smell right. And obviously, it wasn't worth the time. Like all the BS had to go through.
Yeah, right, exactly. He has no idea what he dodged from that. So instead, what ends up happening is that he, through the veterinarian, he ends up hiring Ira to steal the Hummel, who is from Breaking Bad, and I have this from me in the internet. I was just like, huh, I wonder if that's somebody. And then you Google it and you go like, yep, it was.
He looked familiar, but
yeah,
I couldn't place
it. I just want to be upfront with our audience. I don't have all this stuff in my head like some people. There are probably people in the chat who are like, I knew right away. Good for you, by the way. I wish I had that. So he was the owner of Vomino's Pest. The fumigation company in Albuquerque, New Mexico, originally owned by Ira. He sells it to Mike, Walter White, and Jesse, and they use it as a front for their meth manufacturing. So, and originally the company was a legitimate pest control business, and it just was also used to burglarize houses that were fumigated. So you see, this kind of lets you know that, oh yeah, this guy's even back here with the stealing Hummels. Obviously, this experience did not turn him off. But in very Better Call Saul fashion, of course, the simple break-in, not very simple. The manager of the paper company, of course, was kicked out of the house by his wife and was living there. Give us your thoughts on that, Al, as we watched all that play out.
I thought it was a nice twist. I was almost scared, though, this was going to be a bottle episode where we're going to end up hiding under the desk that whole time. So almost, but not quite.
And he's like on the phone with Jimmy out in the parking lot, and he keeps trying things. They put the right amount of time into it.
Yeah.
I think it was very funny that it didn't work right away.
But typical Breaking Bad fashion, they kind of gave us like two heist scenes. You know, there's a setup in the beginning, you know, where they staged it. It looks like Nacho and his boy got jacked, and, you know, they leave the body in the car. That's kind of like heist number one. And then we have this mini heist, you know, and this, with this little paper Xerox company. But both of them, I don't know, there's something about the way they shoot these things, they're so methodical. Details that people would normally leave out, but they show them like dropping the glass, looking at the bullet, and then the twins come and pick it up. They're so detail oriented that, you know, it makes it very compelling. It sucks you in, whether it's a heist involving a shootout or just a heist involving a figurine.
Of course, you can always pull out some great, you know, one-liners, which is Jimmy taking the phone and asking Ira, "Do you shit gold?"
Of course.
And, you know, sort of a callback at the end there. It's like, shitting gold. So I thought that that was great. You know, just such an odd heist to do anyway, switching out Hummel figurines. But I don't know. They managed to make kind of a dumb idea play out very entertaining, I thought.
Real quick. Yeah. And because we know the writers of this show are so detail-oriented, I'm wondering – okay, sometimes they'll show you some small things that don't come back. But the fact that they spent 20 minutes in there, I'm thinking one of those characters or something to do with that dumb little heist is going to come back to haunt them.
Yeah, I do think that this will come up again, you know. And I feel – I don't know that anybody will – I don't know how it would come back to Jimmy, but that's for the writers to decide. But I feel like the no one's going to notice that we switched them. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think someone is definitely going to notice. And then there was a little Easter egg in that scene, because when he calls to order a pizza, he does indeed point out he has to specify that he wants it sliced. So, of course, a callback to Breaking Bad as well. So you see – and again, the internet is the one
nice
that pays attention.
Man. I would have told myself.
Yeah, when he heard it, I was just like, "Oh, that's funny." But the internet always can help you know, like, was I imagining something? So there's a few people online that were talking about that. So that's the first of the cameos. We'll get to the other one a little later, which is where our theme song came from. So that is the bulk of Jimmy's storyline. But we then sort of, you know, he has to sleep in because, you know, when you have a bungled criminal operation, you get really tired and you got to sleep in. But he, Kim finally tells him about the meeting and the fact that, you know, he's going to get $5,000, and he's like, "Great, I'll just pay off my my MasterCard."
And didn't you think Kim was like, "Well, Jimmy, you're entitled to more"? When you think she's going to push that?
That was sort of like it was unspoken, and it's like, "Oh, he's okay with it." And I think that surprises her. And I think the way that he kind of reads the letter while he continues to eat breakfast, and, you know, what Chuck said was actually very nice, and he's like, "Say what you want. The man could write a letter." Yeah, the funny thing is just a very like Jimmy, like, "What? Why are you upset?" You know, I don't know.
Are you surprised that Chuck took the high road, that he had this come to Jesus moment where, because we were all thinking that he's actually going to take this time to take one more petty dig at Jimmy?
It really depends on when he wrote it.
Okay.
You know, and we don't know. It's not dated. So, but I think that, you know, in a way, that is kind of one last dig by taking the high road.
Right.
You know? So it's like if you do the dig, then you're like, "Good, I'm glad I thought you were a jerk." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It doesn't this is just like, I'm better than this.
Yeah.
You know?
He gets to be the magnanimous one, even in death.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, Kim was a little off the whole episode. I think that was the gist of what her story was.
And when she broke down emotionally, do you think that's why? Because they know that maybe they kind of like put Chuck through the ringer, and the fact that he was able to take the high ground, that, you know, that it just kind of tore her up.
Yeah, and also I think it's upsetting to her that Jimmy's just playing it so cool. You know, I mean, and I think on some level she thinks that this isn't what he's really feeling. You know, he's just not letting himself feel it. I think that there's a variety of possibilities there. But that was what I was thinking in the moment, basically. Anyway, somebody in the chat is pointing out the fact that the manager of the paper company having to stay there because he bought his wife a vacuum, and he was like trying to explain what a great vacuum it was. That was actually very funny. I'm glad somebody reminded me of why he was there, because that was pretty funny. And then, you know, Ira, the thief under the desk, is just like shaking his head like, oh, my God.
This guy's walking around in his boxers and his, you know, dirty socks.
Yeah. Frank Stern in the chat points out a great Tom Lehrer song called Poisoning Pigeons in the Park. That's actually the one I should have mentioned. These are all old novelty songs from probably like the 40s that I would hear on – when I was a kid, I would hear them on the Dr. Demento radio show. But they're out there on the internet if you want some wacky music. And there you go. That's an interesting theory. I'm sorry that it stopped me cold. But Tim Reno 72, thanks for being with us every week, Tim Reno. I wonder if Kim wrote that letter and switched them out.
Wow.
I did not think that for a second.
Whoa.
But that's a great idea.
That makes sense.
And then
that makes sense.
At some point in the season, there's a letter that is sort of the way you were thinking, uh-huh, that is not the high road.
Uh-huh. Good catch. You caught that?
Yeah, Tim Reno 72. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because she cares about Jimmy's feelings.
And let me just point out, Frank Stern is also saying, I think Kim rewrote Chuck's letter, thinking Jimmy couldn't handle any more ridicule from his older brother.
Right.
She may be crying because she actually read the real letter.
Mm.
Man.
It's
like
deeper.
Every week, the people in the chat are just smarter than us. But I love that idea.
I like it too.
And if you're right, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
You know, somehow he comes across the real letter.
Kudos.
Well, then
we'll see.
Was that? Yeah. So, oh man. Yeah. And wow. See, well, keep sharing your thoughts with us. I love that. And see, even those of us who are doing the after show, we learn from the after show
because
we look at the chat.
Thank God for the community.
Yeah, exactly. So another big storyline in this week's episode was Nacho having to basically endure, a little bit of a setup. The interesting thing with the opening sequence is what you were talking about, sort of, you know, very slowly dropping the plastic along the way, leaning it up. It was very meticulously, easy for me to say, meticulously set up that they had a very specific way that they wanted it to look. And look, I've seen shows and movies where cars get shot up before, but never to this extent. And there was a dead guy in the car. So I guess dead guys, you got to shoot a little extra. Because I'm just like, they reload and then they shoot again. And it's just like, you know, it is the way time tends to move on this show.
Yeah.
A little slowly.
Yeah.
But,
That's typical Gus Fring, though, to always like down to the minutest detail. We're not going to give it a hair of a... a whiff of that, this might not be true.
Yeah, everything needs to look like it's on the up and up, and his guys are basically like, it has to look real, you know, because Nacho wants to make the call, and they're like, nope. And it's like, you better start dialing before you pass out.
What do you think, too, when they're like, okay, get in the car now? Whoa!
Yeah, I know.
That's got to... Well, I'll get to that uncomfortable moment later.
Oh, yeah, well, we can talk about uncomfortable moments later.
Yeah.
But just sort of on the whole, give us your thoughts about... this situation that Nacho's now in with Gus.
Yeah, he's in deep. And just as a quick update, we found out last week that as they were doing the exchange, that Gus was basically onto Nacho, that he was trying to kill him. But more importantly, he used that. He's like, okay, I know something on you. I have something on you. Now you work for me. So they kill his right-hand man. They kill his buddy. And so Nacho is basically going to be like an agent for Gus and for his team. So they stage this whole thing to make it obviously look like, I forget, what's the guy's name, his partner's name, the guy with the ponytail? His name escapes me. The character.
Me too. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, but I'm sure somebody would come up with it in the chat.
Let us know in the chat.
He was a minor character.
You can shame us. Shame us for not knowing. We should know.
Yeah.
That's on us.
So they took him out last week, as we know, but they're making it look like, you know, they got hit. And, of course, the ante just ups when the twins come investigating. Because when those two guys, like, enter a scene, it's immediately, like, everybody's scared because you never know what they're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, this sort of I don't know. I feel like we're really going to get to see a lot of this. And this obviously ties into Gus's storyline, which is basically, oh, you're not going to move any product. Oh, all right, I guess. You know, so this is clearly – he's engineering all of this, which is great.
The ironic part was Gus had said when he was talking to Don Juan, well, Don Juan's like, what do you think is going to happen? He's like, well, once people found out that Salamanca's hit, they're going to think he's weak. That's the perfect time to move on him when they think you're weak. And it turns out that Gus is going to be the one that's actually moving in on him. It's classic Gus Fring.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so – that brings us to the other scene with Gus when we get to see Gail from Breaking Bad. And that is the scene. So he is singing about the elements, and that's what, and you definitely saw him before on Breaking Bad. He didn't want to use him to develop drugs because he could do better than that. And fast forward timeline-wise, but rewind in sort of real time in terms of when we saw it on TV. He was a chemist that Gus hired to set up a meth super lab, so it looks like Gus will change his mind about using Gail. Gail has an MS in organic chemistry, described himself as a libertarian and a nerd, according to the Breaking Bad fandom wiki.
The ultimate nerd.
Yeah, he even impressed Walt with his side project to brew a superior cup of coffee. So these are the level of, you know, little cameos and Easter eggs and things that I think are great. You know, there's no reason not to do things on this level, you know. I don't know. So let us know what you think about seeing those. And, you know, you can always let us know. Look, obviously you want to see Walt and Jesse at some point. But who else are some people that you think, like, oh, you know who might work out? You know, some of the more minor characters. Let us know who's on your wish list from some of the Breaking Bad characters that you would like to see. And Ill Ego in the chat is now also agreeing that Kim switched the letter. Man, everybody's thinking this except us. See, now that's all I can think about. Now I'm going to be disappointed if she didn't. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it was just too smooth of a moment for something not to be hidden under the surface. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, one of the things that we want to let people know, in addition to being sponsored by Los Pollos Hermanos, we do have a little business up front from Al that he wants to tell you about, and it's not just where to get some great chicken.
Yeah, it's not just about the Chicken Brothers. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you and help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you. Thank you for being the ESPN of live reads. We appreciate
that.
Thank you. Yeah, and, you know, we had some comments in last week's chat, which were people letting us know that they had indeed subscribed, so they took your words to heart.
Thank you.
So, and we will take a look at some of your comments from last week. I promised that we would do that, and we have quite a few and a lot of views and downloads. So we appreciate everybody who enjoys checking out the show. I think that you know, people are just excited to be able to talk about the show again now that it's back, and I'm excited to get theories from people like the ones we've already talked about. But one of the features that we like to do here on the Better Call Saul After Show is Most Uncomfortable Moment. So what are some of your thoughts? I probably got one that I can think of off the top of my head, but I'd like to hear what your thoughts are.
Well, Christian, there are plenty of uncomfortable moments if you ask me.
It might be an hour-long and entirely uncomfortable moment.
But. Yeah, I mean, there are multiple. There are a myriad of uncomfortable moments. We could talk about being trapped under a desk You know,
that's actually the one that I have.
Yeah, that's pretty uncomfortable when you're in there to steal a figurine, and meanwhile,
and you're listening to the guy talk to his wife about how he bought a great vacuum for her,
and she doesn't appreciate him, and he's walking around in his underwear, and you know, a very uncomfortable moment, very uncomfortable with Jimmy, you know, rigging the alarm to go off, and this guy still goes out to fix the alarm, but he still doesn't leave, so he's still not able to get out. So this whole thing, I think, just kind of proving just what Mike was saying is like, why do you want to mess around with this penny ante stuff? You know, stick to the stuff that you know. But the cake is taken by the restaging of Nacho getting shot. And I cannot think of his partner again.
Yeah,
you guys were so bad.
I was getting really distracted.
We'll just call him Ponytail.
So I had to stop looking for it because I wasn't able to focus on what we were doing. I knew it last week.
Yeah, we did know it last week.
I had it, and I think I deleted
it. Is it Arturo?
Yeah, that sounds right. I think I deleted my notes from last week, and that's the problem.
I think it's Arturo.
That sounds good. Yeah. You know, we're going to just say Arturo, and if we're wrong, please tell us.
I know you will correct
us. Yeah, definitely tell
us. So anyway, yeah, that's got to take the cake to me, the most uncomfortable moment when, you know, they go and, you know, they make it look like they were set up and that Arturo and Nacho were in the car and that somebody had laid down these wires to mess up their tires. So the car skids out, there's glass everywhere, and basically, you know, they shoot up the car, they stage the Arturo's body in there, they shoot up the car to make it look like they got jacked, basically, on the road. So very tense, but the most uncomfortable moment within that uncomfortable scene is after they put 1,000 shells into this one car, and they shoot it up to death, they stick a dead man in the driver's side, they're, Nacho, why don't you get in? The hair on the back of my neck, and you can tell he's looking at them like, wait, like, I didn't know this is part of the plan.
I gotta do who with the what now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he has to literally get in next to the dead body, kind of turn to the dead body, and then they pop him in the shoulder. So you think, okay, that looks real, right?
Now, that looked real to me.
That looked real to me.
I was like, yeah, all right,
I get it. He was in the car, he got hurt, he's got skin in the game, and they're like, no, we're not done yet.
Yeah, get out
the car. And Nacho starts walking away, and they raise the gun behind him. So the whole time you're like, okay, they might just pop Nacho right now. We don't know what the heck they're going to do. What they end up doing is Nacho's walking. He doesn't know if they're going to pop him. End up shooting him in the gut just to make it look real. And he's literally about to pass out. And the guy's like, okay, now you can call. And so he makes the call to the twins to come get him. But I got to give it up. Because the twins, they bought it. They bought that whole scenario. The fact that he even saw like one of the twins giving him blood, you know, I thought that was like, okay, he wouldn't be doing that if he didn't think that this whole setup was real.
Yeah, and that was a moment that I liked where the vet was like, well, I guess it turns out that Yul Brynner here is indeed a universal donor. And by the way, Tim Reno again in the chat says the vet mentioned that the bullet would set off metal detectors, and is that an Easter egg? I'm trying to remember a metal detector being set off in the future / past, but I think Tim is locked into something. Tim, you are a really locked in watcher, viewer of the show, so always be in the chat every week. We need your help. So thank you for that. And I was going to say for uncomfortable moment, I was going to go with Ira being under the desk while the guy calls and talks to his wife and orders a pizza and has to get rescued by Jimmy. I thought that was all very funny. Well, let us know what are your uncomfortable moments of this week or favorite from the season or really the series all time. If you have some favorite uncomfortable moments, please leave them in the comments on the YouTube channel or also on iTunes. Now, as I said, we got a lot of great comments last week. Julianus Sylvanus says that just sort of for the sake of, you know, giving us the background, in season 1, episode 5, Alpine Shepherd Boy, Jimmy makes his acquaintance to Hummel figurines. We definitely referenced that there was past mention of the figurines, but thank you for telling us exactly what it was. And there was a lot of conversation in the chat, in the live chat during last week's show, about Mike's granddaughter, and I don't know that we really quite got to the bottom of it. There seems to be concern that she isn't the right age. Londell Murdoch points out that she was like 10 when he abandoned her at the park. So I still don't have an answer on that. But Steve Catanzaro pointed out, how could Gus know that Nacho changed the pills? Did the cook from the restaurant tell him?
I don't necessarily – see, that's the thing. I don't necessarily think that he knows for sure, but I think he saw him handling the pills.
I think he just figured, you know, he put two and two together. He's like, this is probably what happened. So if I act like I know, I agree with that. But it also could be something like that. You know, it could be somebody that told him. It was T-Dog Browning is the one who just subscribed. So thanks, T-Dog. And that means you're watching or listening to us right now. Bacall McElroy really didn't like the way that Jimmy handled his job interview last week, which was kind of a favorite moment for both of us. It really irked Bacall. They said they would be sending him to HR. They might run the background check then with his ID. He said they were seduced by his words. He used technical jargon and told the truth about his experience. He says he could pee in their coffee so they could. So any new hire. It's called trust. So there you go. And back to the granddaughter. I should have grouped these together, but Big Sky Blue says the granddaughter's older only because younger actors are a pain in the ass to work with. I mean, it's not even necessarily a pain in the ass. There are issues with how much time they can spend on set, and you have to have tutors and all these things, but maybe they won't explain it away. You know, maybe they're just like, eh.
I think they can let that one go.
I guess, but if we're getting these comments, it's not like they don't know. You know, let's see. Oh, this I liked this one. I saw this one the other day. Mandred Q says, I feel like sometime either later this season or in the next, Jimmy's going to get himself in some deep trouble that requires him to meet with Gus Fring to discuss what he actually does. Seeing as we don't know for certain if Mike was his connection to Fring in Breaking Bad, it might not be Mike. But however, he would find out about the truth of Fring and his business. It won't be on very good terms. So people are trying to connect the dots. And Lanky Lad wants to know, what happened to the length of these after shows? I remember they used to be about as long as 40 to 45 minutes. What we've felt in the few weeks is that the few weeks that we've been doing it, first of all, there's only two of us. So that probably cuts down on the length of our discussion on it. That's why we try to include everybody in the chat. But what we don't want to do is like, well, we could go for 10 more minutes. So let's definitely go for 10 more minutes and just repeat everything we said. So, and we're hoping to have some other people on the panel throughout the course of the season, you know, maybe just for a week or two or however it works out. But when it's just the two of us, we'll talk about it as long as we feel like all the news that fits will print, basically, is the way that looks at it. So, thank you for noticing. And I feel like it's not like we've shortchanged the show. We just haven't dragged it out.
But thank you for your input, and we'll always appreciate the input.
Yeah, exactly. Continuing on the Mike's granddaughter, because I want to really get to the bottom of this. It was mentioned by the producers in season one. They deliberately chose to cast an older girl because casting toddlers on movie shoots is a big no-no, and they do take longer to shoot. So I think that that's really what they want to do. So they decided to cast an older child instead of taking a risk with a toddler. But they could retcon it and give an explanation to make her die and have the girl become the other girl. Now, see, that's too much. That's actually what I was wondering. I'm like, is this the same girl? And everybody said it is. It is the same girl. Lawanda Lebowski, great name. I think an additional reason why Jimmy blew up the interview is that usually whenever he did something like that, Chuck would call him out on his bullshit. But since no one did that this time, he felt like something's missing. So maybe he misses Chuck. Random thought.
Interesting.
I love that idea, and I like the way that you know, so many people in the chat and in the comments.
Like Chuck's voice is still playing in the back of his psyche.
They just watch the show different. We all watch the show a little differently, and I love getting the different perspectives. So anyway, so many good chats, and we had a lot of views last week. So those are last week's comments. I want to make sure that we don't miss out on anything that's in this week's comment. Nacho tells the twins that he saw a silver firebird during the hit. I wonder if this is part of Gus's plan to start a war within the cartels. Introduction of the DEA. I think you've definitely nailed what is happening here. Nacho said before it was a bone from someone that was shot. Anyway, so that's everybody in the chat. That's everybody in the chat for last week. We love that people are so engaged in the show, and we're happy to be your outlet for the show. You know, look, honestly, I'm glad AMC doesn't do an after show for it, because then you wouldn't be here with us. I mean, you know, some of you would, But we're happy to be your after.
And where else would you rather be besides with us?
Just hang out with us. We showed you the Pollo Hermano commercial.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we will be back next Monday at 10. I almost was like, wait, we'll be back at 9. I'm like, no, we watch it at 9. Then we record it at 10. And that's when you'll see us is at 10 o'clock. But Al, until then, Al's right over here, everybody. Take
everybody,
a look.
Everybody, it's your boy.
And where can they find him?
This is your boy, Al G. Thank you, Christian. You can find me at JamaicaHouseDoc on Twitter. That should be on the chyron right below. And also on Instagram at Al G_JamaicaHouseFilm. Your boy, Al G. Can't wait to see you. Holla.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And a few shows that you can find me on here at AfterBuzz. Wednesdays, I do South Park. Sunday, Marvel TV Weekly. And for right now, The Trump Report is Mondays at 4.
The Trump Report, check
it will out. Be Tuesdays at 4 after Labor Day. But anyway, those are all the places you can find us. Thanks so much to everybody in the chat. It's a lot to think about. I spend a lot more time thinking about the show because I interact with everybody in the chat and their great ideas. Anyway, thanks so much, everyone. We will see you next Monday.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.